As per usual, the powers that be in the air caused some confusion. I'm not going to go into the dialogue because we're already halfway through the show. Again, I apologize. Anyway, I want to talk tonight about a bunch of things to get you to think a little bit, get you to, get your mojo going. I want you to start thinking. I want you to understand the nature of things today, because we're no longer in Kansas. We're no longer in the world that we once thought and knew. We are in a whole new paradigm. You know, we're talking artificial intelligence. We're talking, advanced sciences today that, 30 years ago, we never even conceived of these things. We looked at things from a whole different perspective back then. Even the word organic today has lost its complete meaning in regard to everything that we are dealing with today. Organic doesn't mean what it used to. I had a young woman come in here the other day, and she had no idea of nanotechnology. She had no idea of quantum dots. She had no idea of anything other than what she thought she knew back in the old days, in regard to what she thought was healthy. She was like 30 years behind the times. It was amazing what I was hearing from this young woman. And I told her, she was in her 30s, and I told her, quite frankly, she wasn't going to get past 60, which basically shocked her a wee bit, which is okay. I don't mind shocking people. Sometimes that's what they need to, wake up and smell the coffee, because we are now in a whole new different spectrum of things today that we never would have imagined could have been possible in regard to nanotechnology, getting nano robots inside the human body, having nano antennas put inside the body, sensors being put in the food supply, to be able to monitor a plant, whether it needs water or not. These things were never even thought of. The idea that something like this could even be conceived of was way beyond our realm. And the health issues that are today being caused just by breathing the air. Osteoporosis is being caused just by breathing the air. Just by breathing. A lot of the autoimmune disorders you're having today and issues you're dealing with, in regard to whatever it may be, could be just from breathing. As far-fetched as that may sound, and let me explain this to you so that you get what I'm coming from here. Because some of you think some of the things I say is a little bit far-fetched until you start investigating. And once you start investigating, you may find out that things aren't as far-fetched as they sound. The very air you're breathing is loaded with ultra-fine particles. Okay, those ultra-fine particles permeate everything. There is no organic. The organic is just a joke. It's a hilarious joke. It's a myth today. Basically a mythos to sell you overpriced product, which is just as contaminated that the non-organics are. When they take a food's product today and they are storing the food product, whether it be organic or inorganic, they're spraying sulfur fluoride and nanosilica and other metals into the grains or into the crops to keep pests aside. And when you're talking spraying in the field, to some measure and some level, that's going to be a given. There is no way a farmer today can grow anything without having some kind of chemistry or deterrent in the crop that they're growing in order to be able to grow a crop, or else they'll be just feeding the wildlife in nature or in creation simply because the pollution has affected their ecosystem. The very animals that used to run around and feed and graze and do all kinds of things in regard to being out in the wild, their environment has been encroached upon with chemicals. Pesticides have gone into the water table, atrazine, glyphosates, endocrine disrupting chemicals, plastics, you know, you name it, it has now gone into their environment. And as a result of this situation that's going on, it is also altering the behavioral patterns of the animals. Now imagine this. Imagine this. Okay, just for one second. I want you to think just for one small second. We're putting nanotechnology into the farmer's field so that now the plants will have on them, attached to their very core, sensor devices that will activate when the plant's biology reacts to drought or need for water, or need for nutrients, or need to be harvested. So this technology now is embedded on the plant, attached to it on a micron level, which means you and I can't see it unless we have a magnifying lens or some kind of scope. Now, an animal comes along, let's say a bear or deer, caribou, a rabbit, a squirrel, a pigeon, a sparrow, you know, crow, whatever, decides to eat that plant, eat the leaves, eat the vegetation, okay, you know, and they start chewing down on this material. What happens to that technology, to the deer, to the sparrow, to the bee, to the wasp, to the spider, to the grasshopper, to the cricket, to the fish in the streams? What happens to the, you know, the bears and the caribou and the elk, the moose? What happens to these animals that eat high levels of vegetation, that consume major quantities of this technology? What happens to them? What happens to us that eat these foods? What happens when we're eating a high concentration of smart dust technology in the food supply? What happens to that tech? Does it stay active? Does it maintain its program? Is it constantly transponding signals through other dust particles? Is it interacting with nanoparticles or nanometals? Is it also being activated with the programming that's going on in the assembling of nanotechnology in your body? These are questions I am throwing out there to you because I want you to be aware that the possibility of these things could, in fact, be happening. How many of you out there have some kind of STD? Got herpes, got some, maybe a strain of gonorrhea or syphilis or whatever. And how many of you who have had the herpes affliction have had it for 20 and 30 years? Now let's analyze this for a second, shall we? Just for a second. What if the herpes you have that is embedded in your biology, in your genetic code, in your DNA, what if that had been integrated with some form of silica, let's say. A silica component that would assemble into your cellular matrix, which would shut down any communications between the cells, between the brain and the DNA and the genetic code, the immune system, to be triggered to be able to deactivate that herpes virus. What if the nanotechnology, okay, the nanotechnology had been incorporated with these pathologies? What if they were able to anchor themselves into the genetic structure, your genetic code? And no matter what you did, it wouldn't work because primarily it is now a part of your body, a part of your system because of the integration of this material with the pathology. What if that was a possibility? See, I'm trying to get you to reevaluate some of the bullsh we've been fed. We've all been told about AIDS, and AIDS we found out later was a lie. So it was just an acronym. Can't cure an acronym. Now mind you, there is something going on there. There is some kind of an infection, but it sure as hell not AIDS. And we do also know that in that infection is also containing in it some kind of augmentation, some kind of modification to this particular affliction that attacks the liver, which shuts down the liver's capacity to mount a defense, shuts down the defense mechanism. In order for something to be able to do this, it would have to integrate into the DNA, genetic code, the chromosome code, and turn off, and turn off, and turn off your body's ability to defend itself. Okay? It would also require some kind of instruction, some kind of frequency, some kind of delivery method to activate those parameters within the liver or within that biology. So, I'm getting you to think here. Why is it that in between 1978 and 1982, I forget when exactly it was written, maybe it was after 82, maybe probably more like 1984 or on, 84, 85, medical field states unequivocally that they were no longer able to cure anything. All they could do was treat. Now, why is this the case? Is it because they're trying to make money for the drug industry? For the pharmaceutical industry? That sounds feasible, but when they're making more money than all the industries combined, automotive industry, electronic industry, technological industry, you know, manufacturing industry, lumber industry, you know, natural resource industry, all the industries combined, they're making more money than all combined. So that to me doesn't seem like a feasible explanation. They already got the money. Already got the money. So why would they say they can no longer cure or will no longer be able to do anything but treat? Could be, maybe, possibly, they were initiating a program back in the 80s to instigate or initiate a system where you are on a constant state of what I call harvesting, breaking you down and taking your body materials, your genetic code, and exploiting that code to see what transpired, what may have been infected, what may have developed, because your body will develop a response mechanism. The way God made us, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And so if you get infected with some kind of STD, sooner or later, your body is going to respond and come up with a defense. But if it doesn't kill you, you're going to come up with an immune response to it, which then means you would not be able to get infected or infected by that particular pathology, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Why is it that we were catching the common cold all the time when we were kids? All the time, you got a cold. How would we have a cold if we had caught a cold the previous year? Our bodies would have produced an antibody to a cold. Wait a second here. Possibly, maybe, we weren't getting a cold, but what we were getting was an allergic response mechanism because of the foods we were eating in the winter months, which would have had contaminants of some kind that would have compromised the immune system. That sounds a little bit more plausible. I'm getting you to think. I want you to think. I want you to go, It's like, you know, we were at a green show a year ago, and when we were at the green show, at the end of the show, some guy just made a comment to me how somebody made a comment about chemtrails, and he said, oh, those are condensation trails. And I made a comment to him. I says, well, how old are you? And he told me he was 61 years old. So me and him were about the same age. There was a year difference between us. I was a little older by a year. So I said to him, I said, hey, bud, you're outside playing in the snow when you were a child. And remember, we used to have snow, 3, 4, 5 foot drifts of snow that would come in all the time, which we don't see anymore. And when you're outside playing in the snow and you were breathing heavily and you saw that carbon coming out of your body, it created a vapor. You remember that? He said, yeah, I remember that. I said, okay. I said, did that vapor follow you everywhere you walked? I mean, did it go in a straight line? Every time you walked to the left or to the right, and every time you were breathing, it followed you wherever you went. Now I had him thinking. I said, now think about this for 1 minute. It's minus 40 above North America, on a constant minus 40, below zero. So if there was any condensation vapor coming out of that airplane, it would have instantly vaporized, crystallized, and disappeared. He said, huh. So yeah, huh. So maybe those aren't condensation trails that you're thinking. Maybe there's something more coming out of those airplanes. And then a buddy of mine contacted me from Arizona was telling me that the airplanes are so fuel efficient that they don't produce any real exhaust. Hardly any. So what's coming out of an airplane? Makes one wonder. Makes one wonder. So I'm trying to get you to use that gray matter. If what we were taught was true, when we get hit with something, we get sick, we get knocked down, then when we come back and we come back around again, our immune system becomes that much more stronger. We develop an antibody response. So now, if that same pathology was to come around again, it could not knock you on your backside because you now have the autoimmune response to deal with what's going on. So why was it that every year when you're growing up as a child, and even today, a child is growing up and getting a cold every year when in fact, once exposed, would develop an immune response? You know, it would have the white blood cells, would have everything ready to go, the thymus would be ready to kick out whatever is required to protect the child from reinfection. Unless one of two things. One, it wasn't a cold. Or two, we have something inside the body that is now keeping the immune system turned off. It's what it is. So again, I am trying to make you think. I'm trying to make you see something. I'm trying to make you put two and two together. I'm trying to get you to see the horse hockey that we have been, that we have been exposed to. So when we're looking at, some of the stuff that we have been told, you know, about health issues and, you know, what is happening, you know, and what is going on and why we are constantly being hit with health issues, you know, well, then we've got to reevaluate just about everything that we are being told today in regard to our health, because a lot of things today are not true. And when we're talking, you know, afflictions, we're sick all the time. Does that make sense to you that we're sick all the time? I mean, seriously, does that make any sense to you that we're also always constantly being hit with some kind of something, no matter what it may be? You know what I mean? These are things that make me think a little bit. Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder by thunder. You know, what is going on? So I want you to recognize that there's a reason why you're constantly feeling what you're feeling. There's a reason why, you know, things are happening to you, why you're feeling the stuff you're feeling. one of the reasons, you know, that you're constantly always breaking down is maybe because you're constantly having something that is turning you off, or something that you're constantly being exposed to that you shouldn't be exposed to, that's constantly keeping you in this state of compromise. So now, how could that possibly be? What would we be exposed to, or constantly being exposed to, that could do this? What's the one thing we all have to do? We all have to breathe. We all have to eat. Those are two things that we all have to do. So let's take a look at those two equations, shall we? Those two particular things that we all have to do. We have to eat and we have to drink. And then we're told, that what we should be eating so that we can avoid certain things, or have certain things be more effective in protecting us against such and such. But the fallacy behind that is really simple. I can give you everything you need to protect you from what's going on, but if your system is constantly being hit with the very thing that's causing the compromise, all I can do at best is mitigate, or at best slow down the effect of what's going on. But sooner or later, you are going to feel the wrath of whatever you're doing, because unless you stop exposing yourself to those components that are causing the compromises, or causing the anomalies to occur in the body, turning off the DNA, shutting down the immune system, reprogramming your genetic code, you're constantly going to be dealing with these issues. Okay, and it's important that you recognize this so that you don't get caught up on some myths. Then you go spend all this money on buying all these products, and then turns out that they ain't what this is not what you need. This is not, you know, what is required. What's going on here? What is why should this be happening? So when we're looking at some of the things, you know, that I'm expressing here, I've been talking about nanotechnology, I've been talking about nanobiology, I've been talking about all the things that, you know, we need to be aware of so that we don't get compromised, so we don't become affected or afflicted, and that we start using the things that we need to use to protect the genetic code. This is all going to boil down to genetic protecting of your DNA. And when you don't protect the DNA and you allow your DNA to become compromised, once the strands are broken in a double helix, the nanotechnology can now impact your genetic code by asserting its program directly into your code. So again, I'm pointing this out because again, we're going to be running out of time here, and so I want to, you know, wrap this part of it up and then lead to the second half of the show, so that when we get to the second half of the show, I'm going to point out a bunch of things that is going to make you go or bump in the dark kind of thing, bump in the night. Because again, we need to understand these things so that we're better equipped, so we're not buying stuff we don't need. We're not wasting money on things that, you know, we don't need to waste money on. And to keep a steady pace on what we need to be taking, what we should be taking, and not being caught up on, you know, some stuff that we've been told is good for us. And some things may be good for you, but they may not be necessary for you. Yeah, and this is the thing that everybody needs to wake up on. Just because it's good for you doesn't mean it's required. You know, when we're looking at, I mean, there's so many things you can buy in a health food store, it's not even funny. But when you start looking at all the things that are out there, and some of the things that, you know, you can take, it's like, okay, where does it begin? Where does it end? You know, what, you know, how much do I have to spend? What, how many of these pills do I have to swallow? And if, are the pills contaminated now? Are the pills causing hijacking? Are the pills causing high levels of sabotage? Especially when you hear some of these guru doctors and what they perpetrate. Some of them is incredible. Some of them are so incredibly stupid, it makes you wonder. What books are they reading? What literature are they quoting? Somebody sent something to me today about a doctor, I forget now who, Dr. Coca-Cola or something. And oh, yeah, this is what I call stupid beyond belief. Okay? What I call stupid beyond belief. When somebody's telling you that you can use baking soda to wash the pesticides off your fruits and vegetables, this shows you the level of incompetence that this person is perpetrating in what they're saying. They obviously have no understanding of food. They have obviously no understanding of what's really going on in the food supply. They have absolutely no understanding of what nanotechnology is or nanoparticulates are or ultrafine particles, and how even the United Nations is stating unequivocally that is the number one killer on the planet due to exposure. And that you cannot wash these things with a simple solution like this person is stating. And when you hear stuff like this, okay, you should have your red alert bell going on. You should be saying, wait a minute, what is this goofball talking about? What does it mean you can wash pesticides off of fruit and vegetables? Have you ever tried washing an apple that's coated with a wax that's sealing the nanoparticles or other pollutants in the thing? It's impossible. It'll roll right, or the water will roll right off the apple. Let's say you do strip the wax off. Woo, we stripped the wax off. Yay! And you go to clean it, you still can't get it off. You look under a scope, the stuff is still embedded because it's embedded on a nanoscale. It's embedded on the genetic level. So when we're looking at, you know, when these, what I call mediums of bullshit, get on the pulpit there, and trying to pacify you. Don't allow the pacification, because somebody like this is saying, to give you that excuse to, oh, I don't have to do this now because Dr. So-and-so said it's okay. Most doctors don't have a clue. There's very few that I've watched that I have admired because they know what they're doing. But the majority of them who couldn't tie their shoe was Velcro. And don't be suckered in. Because these guys don't care. You follow their method, you're definitely going to get sick, and you're definitely going to get inflicted in some form, and you're definitely going to have infections. And then you're going to go to these guys, and all they're going to do is sell you a whack of pills, and which is what the pharmaceutical has taught them to do, which are going to do absolutely nothing for you. So don't be deceived. Study. Understand what we're dealing with in today's nature. Don't tell me, oh, it's so hard to deal with. Get over it. You know, go cry yourself a river in your room. You got to deal with today's reality. That's what we're dealing with today. That's the cards that have been dealt to us. You can't pacify it. You can't schmoozle over it. We are here. This is it. If you don't want to face it, it's just going to be a very painful and excruciating death. That's what's going to come. All right, before I go on, let me talk about the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network. Again, support the network. Support them any way you can. Keep them rolling. Keep them strolling. See what you can do. Say hi. Call them up. Say hello. See what we can, how they can, we can help you. Ask them. You got Bye Bye Blue Sky in Canada with Susan Marr. She's got a website up there about chemtrails, nanotechnology, nanobiology, all kinds of things going on. She's got up there vaccinations. Go check out her site. Support her if she can. If you can, she also is an activist trying to get the message out, trying to get people incorporated in solving the issues. You got, oh, we're done there. All right, well, get back to me. on the next half, and we're going to continue on, and we'll go from there. All right. I didn't think we were that close. All right. See you in a bit.